went on a journey, and whilst at the place, after some time, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum lost sight of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They couldn't find him. And naturally the Sahaba, we know their love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they started panicking. And they started getting worried. And possibly thinking possibly something could have happened to him. So after some time has passed, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually came back from a certain direction. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them that I have been invited. Someone from amongst the jinn have come to me and has invited me to come to them and to recite to them the Quran Sharif. So he said, I accepted this invitation and I went and I recited the Quran Sharif to them. And whilst Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, possibly there were some discussions taking place between them. So one of the things that were discussed was, they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is their provision, what is their sustenance to eat? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that the meat that the human beings are eating, and that meat which they recite Bismillah upon, the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken. So the bones of that meat, Allah Ta'ala makes it such where He replaces a flesh for them, and they are able to partake of that. And furthermore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the dung and the waste of the camels and the animals of the human beings, that dung will be the provisions and the sustenance for the animals amongst the jinn. So the jinn together with the animals, they are partaking and having their own provision and sustenance. And that is why the reason why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned after that, that do not use the bones, do not use the feces as a cleanser, and we're making istinja, we're not allowed to use these items, because this is the food for our brethren, the jinnat. And furthermore, amongst the jinn, we also get the good ones, we also get the bad ones. The good ones, as we have mentioned in this ayat, that a group from amongst them, they heard the Quran Sharif. So what happened was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also out of Medina Sharif, and he was performing one of the salah, and whilst he was reciting in salah, a group of jinn happened to pass by him. And when they heard the recitation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this intrigued them. And first time they heard such a marvelous recitation, so they gathered closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were listening to this, essentially accepted Islam. So these are the good. Then you get the bad, the kafir amongst them, the non-believers. A famous example, or rather an infamous person of who we know from amongst the jinn is Iblis, Shaitan. So he was also a jinn, or he is also a jinn. Although he grew up amongst the angels and he was in their company, and at times the same ruling which applied to them applied to him. An example of this is wherein Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. And remember the time when we have instructed the malaika, we have commanded the malaika to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. And this was not a sajda of worship, it was a sajda of respect. So Allah Ta'ala commanded them, because this is the epitome of Allah Ta'ala's creation, the man. The angels were such way, they are created in such a way, they just obey anything Allah says. But man, Allah Ta'ala created him such way, he has intellect, he can decide to do good or to do bad. So this was something which is marvelous. So Allah Ta'ala ordered them to prostrate before ordered the malaika to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam out of respect. And together with that, because Iblis was amongst them, he was also instructed to prostrate. Illa Iblis. So the malaika fasajadu al-malaikata illa Iblis. Except Iblis, he did not prostrate. So Allah Ta'ala also instructed him, although he was speaking to the malaika, but he was also included in that. In the school where we teach, we have one of the ustads, one of the teachers, he has a child with special needs, a disability. So Sometimes in the school line, in the assembly, he joins one of the grades and he sits with them. So when it's time to dismiss the grades, if he's sitting in a certain grade and we dismiss the grade, he also follows that grade because he's in their company. So likewise, Iblis was a jinn, but he was in the Malaika's company, so all the rulings apply to him also. So this is one example of a kafir jinn. We get the good, we get the bad. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in this ayah that قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. That say Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I have received this revelation and I have been inspired. And wahi has come down to me that أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. That a group from amongst the jinnat and the jinn have heard to this Qur'an, has heard this recitation of this Qur'an. And ajaba, and what was their response when they heard this Qur'an? They said, certainly we have heard a marvelous and an astonishing and a wonderful recitation and Qur'an and kalam. And no doubt, the Qur'an Sharif is a marvelous and a wonderful kalam because it comes directly from Allah Ta'ala. Unlike everything in this world, human beings, trees, mountains, and everything else is a creation of Allah Ta'ala besides the Qur'an Sharif. This is not the creation of Allah Ta'ala, but rather it's directly from Allah Ta'ala. It's Allah Ta'ala's kalam. I'm not talking about the Quran Sharif that we have in front of us, the pages and the book form, because this is something which can be burnt, it can be destroyed. Rather, the recitation itself, the Quran, the kalam that we read, the surahs that we read, that is the actual kalam of Allah Ta'ala. So, this kalam of Allah Ta'ala is such that it has an effect on certain individuals. It has a certain effect and different effect on different individuals. So like how on this group of jinn, the Quran had an effect on them and immediately they accepted the message. Likewise, during the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there were many incidents, but I'll mention one. We all know of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the great Khalifa of Islam. So he was a staunch and a great enemy of Islam when Islam first began and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started spreading the message. So one day he set out with his sword and he was a great warrior. He was a very powerful person. So he set out with his sword and he was going on his way and he had this intention in him that he's going to slay Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's going to kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, na'udhu billah. So on his way he met a sahabi. So the sahabi radiallahu anhu asked him, "Oh Umar, where are you going? You look like you're on a mission. Where are you going?" So he told him that I'm going to finish off Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam today. So he said, "Why are you going to finish off Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? First deal with your own household." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, your sister and your brother-in-law have accepted Islam." So this enraged him even more. So immediately he went to the house of his sister and he could hear some sounds coming from there. And when they heard Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was outside, the person teaching them, the sahabi teaching them the Quran, immediately he started shaking and he got scared. So he hid away. And the sister and the brother-in-law hid the Quran Sharif away and they let him in. When he came in, he was enraged because of what he heard, the news. And immediately he lost it and he started beating them up. And he beat his sister up in such a way where she fell to the ground and she was bleeding. And when he saw this, then some mercy came into his heart. And he cooled down. And he said again, "I heard you're reciting something. I heard you'll accept Islam. Show me what you were reciting." So his sister said that you cannot touch the Quran because you are in impure state. You first have to have a ghusl and clean yourself. So after taking the ghusl, after cleaning himself, when he fell upon the ayat of the Quran, immediately there was a change in him. Then he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a sahabi's house, and they asked who's at the door. So when it was said that it was Umar radiallahu anhu was at the door, all the sahaba became and went into defensive mode. They thought he's coming to attack Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Leave him, let him come." And when he came, he sat down before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said he's ready to accept Islam. So this is the effect that the Quran Sharif has on individuals, man and jinn. Because it is a kalam which is directly from Allah Ta'ala. It is a marvelous Quran. The Quran Sharif, like we know that all the Anbiya alayhi salam, the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, each one of them or most of them, they receive certain miracles. So for instance, Musa alayhi salam, in the time of magicians, he had a miracle where he had a staff, and throwing the staff down, it would turn into a serpent. Because that was the time of magicians. Isa alayhi salam lived in a time where medicine and the medical field was at a high. So his miracle was where he used to cure the lepers and the blind and cause the dead to rise alive. Salih alayhi salam, for instance, his miracle was that the mountain split and a pregnant she-camel came out of the mountain. So all these different Anbiya alayhi salam received these miracles in order to show the people that they are not ordinary people and they have come directly from Allah Ta'ala with a message. But the miracle and the greatest miracle of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. And it's such a miracle, if you look at all the other miracles of the Anbiya alayhi salam, it is a miracle which took place at that time and ended at that time. But if you look at the Qur'an Sharif, it is a miracle which was revealed in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and up until the day of Qiyamah, and even beyond that, it will still be a miracle and it will still be present. And the Qur'an Sharif is such a miracle in which there are miracles. There are miracles of the Qur'an Sharif we hear about. For instance, you get the miracles of the prophecies of the Qur'an Sharif, where the Qur'an Sharif talks about such an incident which will take place in the future, which one could not fathom. And those prophecies have been met or is yet to still be met. For instance, I'll just mention one of those prophecies which will serve as a miracle of the Qur'an. We all know, most of us sitting here, or all of us know the Surah Al-Lahab. Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. The meaning of it is, may the hands of Abu Lahab, who was the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, be destroyed, and may be destroyed again. It's indicating that he will be destroyed, and he's going to meet his destruction, and eventually, he and his wife are going to burn in the fire of Jahannam. Now, how does this serve as a miracle of the Qur'an? It serves as a miracle in such a way that we know he was a staunch enemy of Islam. So if he wanted, he could have just pretended and said outwardly that I am accepting Islam. If he did this, the whole mission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have been destroyed, the Quran would have been falsified. But yet he didn't have the courage and he didn't have the ability to even utter such words. Just in order to act, he didn't have that ability because the Quran Sharif has already mentioned that he will be destroyed. So this is one of the miracles of the Quran Sharif. Another miracle which Allah Ta'ala mentions that وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, that certainly we have made the Qur'an Sharif easy to remember. So who will be the one to remember it? If we have to think about this and ponder over this, if someone has to write a book or someone has to present a book before you in any language and tells you that memorize it, we all know how difficult it will be. Even the Arabic, even if you take Arabic books, you'll know it's very difficult to memorize and remember afterwards. But the Qur'an Sharif has this miracle where even children as young as 4 to 5 years old are memorizing the entire Qur'an Sharif. So this is another miracle of the Qur'an. Then you get the scientific miracles of the Qur'an. One such example is regarding the water cycle of this world. Now, in the ancient times, people had this idea of the water. They used to think that there used to be land, and under the land, there's a whole massive water source which provides the water, which fills up the rivers, and is the main water source for all the rivers and the oceans. But the Quran mentions regarding this, and regarding this scientific miracle, the Quran mentions that we have sent down the rain. وَانْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً بِقَدَرٍ فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that we have sent down the water in due measure and we have placed it in the earth, and from there springs gush forth and rivers fill up, and eventually it meets up at the ocean and evaporates again and comes back down. This scientific discovery was only realized and the scientists have come upon it 1,000 years after the Quran has been revealed. So you can see there are many different types of miracles which have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So if we realize that the Quran Sharif is authentic and has all these miracles and it is from the side of Allah Ta'ala, it is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, so what is our responsibility, what is our link to the Quran Sharif and what our link should be to the Quran Sharif? We know we have just come out of the month of Ramadan. Not even a month has passed. It feels like a few months have passed since Ramadan is gone. But in the month of Ramadan, we see the environment of the Quran Sharif. It is known as the month of the Quran. Everyone, even the person with the weakest iman, at that time during the month of Ramadan, he has a zeal and he has a desire to increase his recitation of the Quran Sharif. You'll see the masjids are full, people are reciting, people are competing and making khatam upon khatam. But we should take into stock and we should take into consideration after the month of Ramadan, what is our link? Compare how we were in Ramadan and see ourselves now and see if we are on that same, have we improved or have we gone back to our own selves pre-Ramadan. So this is one aspect. We need to create a link between ourselves and the Quran Sharif and have that link and have that bond, because we know it is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala directly revealed from Allah Ta'ala. Another aspect and another important point we should pay attention to is adab and respect of the Quran Sharif. We know in the madrasa, we're teaching in the madrasa, and we see the levels of respect that nowadays the students show to the Quran Sharif. And possibly if when we in madrasa and those before us saw us in madrasa, they would have thought the same thing, that how we respect the Quran Sharif, we don't see it in this children and students. So this is something, because when something is valuable to us, we take care of it. If we get a new phone, we get a new car, we look after it, we cover it, we make sure nothing happens to it. But when you look at the Quran Sharif and the Quran Sharif on the shelves, we notice that some of them are not even covered, the pages are torn, and even worse than that is when reciting the Quran Sharif, while the Quran Sharif is open, the students are talking and people are talking of worldly affairs and vulgarity is being used. So this is something which is unacceptable. Then the Hadith Sharif which I have mentioned in the beginning, that Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, that the Quran Sharif is such that it's going to be a proof for you or is going to be a proof against you. How it will be a proof against you, there's many narrations talking about this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned regarding certain surahs of the Quran Sharif. And he says, for example, whoever recites Suratul Mulk, then for such a person, it will be an intercessor in the grave. It will save him from the punishment of the grave. Once a Sahabi went, he was traveling somewhere and he happened to camp over there. So he pitched his tent. And without realizing, he pitched his tent on the grave. And whilst he was there, he said he could hear Suratul Mulk being recited from the grave. So he found it strange and astonishing. And the next day when he went to the majlis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told him and replied to him, and he said that this is Suratul Mulk, this is the defender, this is the protector in the grave. Likewise, the Quran Sharif will be a proof for a person on the day of Qiyamah, when one comes before Allah Ta'ala to for his reckoning. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that fasting and the Quran Sharif will come. Fasting will come and present its case before Allah Ta'ala and say that this person has stayed away from food, this person has stayed away from his desires during the day, and he sacrificed his desires and food for me. So please, I want to intercede on his behalf. And the Quran Sharif will come. And the Quran Sharif will intercede on behalf of a person and he will say, this person has stayed awake at night reciting me, and sacrificing his sleep. So give me permission, O Allah, to intercede on his behalf. And both these things will be given permission and they will intercede on behalf of this person. On the contrary, Al-Quran hujjatun alayk, the Quran will be a proof against a person, where a person neglects the Quran Sharif, a person disrespects the Quran Sharif, then in such a case, the Quran Sharif will come and it will put its case forward and its case will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. What a case it will put, it will say this person neglected me, this person knew all the virtues but didn't practice and didn't recite me. So this is a very serious thing, neglecting the Quran Sharif, not reciting the Quran Sharif, only reciting the Quran Sharif at certain times during the month of Ramadan, for example. We should make a concerted effort to bring the Quran Sharif in our life. It will be a source of ease and comfort to us in this world, the Qabr and the Akhirah. And it will be a cure for all our problems. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That certainly, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, we have sent down the Quran Sharif. In it is a cure for physical and spiritual maladies. We know in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they have tested us many times where they recited a ayat of the Quran Sharif with conviction and certain individuals were cured. Likewise, it is a remedy and a malady, a cure for maladies, spiritual maladies. And وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is a mercy for all the worlds, for the jinn kind, mankind, and all. It is a mercy for all. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make a amal on what has been said, to practice on the Quran, to recite the Quran, to respect the Quran, and to bring the Quran into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.